Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Most, good morning, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, Dean. And how appropriate that you have Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga singing Anything Goes. It just kind of how things feel right now.
Yeah, I wish I had thought of that, how appropriate that is for what's going on with the COVID variant, because it just seems like every day brings something new, and Anything Goes seems to be the, you know, kind of the, you know, signature theme of it all. The thing that surprised me most this week are how infection rates seem to be up with kids pretty much all across the board. Is that because of the Thanksgiving bump?
Yep. Yeah, you know, it is. And it's still because our vaccination rates aren't where we want them to be at. If you look at Indiana now, they have their highest number of cases right now than in the history right now. So you can see what's going on across the swath of the Midwest. But then look at their vaccination rates. We're only 50% are totally vaccinated and 55% are partially, comparing that to Illinois at 63 and 70. So, you know, we still have to tell people we're all concerned about Omicron, but boy, Delta is right here and still wreaking havoc, mainly in the Midwest right now.
Yeah, so Delta is still the more of the ominous of the variants right now, even though we've heard so much about Omicron being able to spread faster, et cetera.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting that, you know, a lot of people's focus is on Omicron, but really we have to look at still 99% of the cases in the hospitals right now are Delta, you know, so let's look at what's at our front door, but let's prepare for what's coming as well, because we know in a very short period of time that is going to be here and in a very dominant fashion.
So even though numbers are as high or higher than they've been during this entire pandemic period, it seems as though it's less deadly. It seems as though fewer people are being hospitalized right now. I presume that's because of the vaccines and boosters. Is that the case?
Yeah, you know, we're seeing hospitalizations creep up a little bit, but nothing near where we were. And you hit it right on the head. The reason that we've seen this dramatic change is because of vaccinations, because of monoclonal antibodies, because of remdesivir, all of the things that in just one short year we have now as far as part of our armamentarium to fight this infection, as well as people wearing masks and thinking and washing their hands, doing all the things that slow the spread of anything. Had we not done any of it, we would be in the exact same position we were last year, which would be extremely scary.
Yeah, and yet, from you know, my observation, I think this is the case overall. But I don't know anybody that's gotten a cold as they normally do, or the flu. All of those things seem to be down, I presume, because most of us are wearing masks right now.
Yeah. I mean, actually, think about it. All the things that we're doing to protect ourselves from getting COVID also protects ourselves from the common cold, from influenza. Although I do have to tell people, hopefully you got your influenza shot. We are seeing cases of influenza A ramping up right now, which is kind of concerning to many of us.
Boy, I got to remember, I didn't get it when I got my booster, because I didn't know if I was going to have any kind of reaction to my booster, which I did not, by the way. Everything was perfectly fine, aside from a little bit of a sore arm. And then I was like, well, I'll go get my flu shot right after that. And, you know, you just get busy and you forget. But I'm going to remember to do that in the next couple of days.
So yeah, and you still have perfect timing, Dean. You know, you're still a couple of weeks from Christmas, or what are we, 2 weeks exactly from Christmas, maybe?
Yeah.
So certainly, you know, the amount of time that you get the vaccine to where it's really totally effective, you know, that 7 to 10 day window. So certainly this would be a great week to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
If you haven't gotten your booster, get your booster. If you haven't got your flu shot, get your flu shot.
So where are we with Omicron right now? I mean, we're hearing so many different kinds of stories of what it is and what it isn't. And, you know, some people getting their information from uncredible sources on the web. How concerned should we be about that at the moment?
Yeah, you know, it's really interesting when we look at it, and really we're focusing on, tell me what's going on in South Africa, tell me what's going on at the UK. And the reason I say that is that's our leading indicators. That is what is going to be showing us. And when you look at South Africa, obviously the number of cases are just through the roof. It is now the dominant strain. It has pushed Delta out as far as the dominant strain there. But the very interesting thing about South Africa, although hospitalizations are up, one of the largest hospitals in South Africa, although they had a higher hospitalization rate, 80% of those who tested positive for COVID were there for something else. Hmm. It was an incidental finding. They were there to have their gallbladder out. They were there because of a heart attack, but yet they had COVID. So we're not seeing the hospitalizations rise for the disease itself, which is very promising, as it shows that potentially this is going to have much milder symptoms and not be as virulent as the Delta variant.
Yeah, this has been the case, I guess, with Omicron, that you know people are getting it, as you say, particularly in Africa. We talked about this a few weeks ago, where the vaccination rate is so incredibly low, and people are contracting the Omicron variant. Yet, you know, we're not seeing the deaths, we're not seeing the hospitalizations. It seems to be, you know, a completely different kind of strain, I guess you might say. Some people have been comparing to the common cold. Is there any truth to that?
Well, actually, you have to think. Remember when this all started, we talked about there's three regular coronaviruses that cause the common cold. And if you remember early on, we said this is a novel coronavirus. So they're in the same family. So is it going, pushing itself back more towards the common cold? Very possibly. So, but it is so contagious. I mean, if you thought about our novel, our first one, and then you took Delta and said, wait, Delta is two times as contagious as the original. And now you're looking at this at three to four times as contagious as Delta. I mean, look what's happening in the UK, where they're seeing a doubling rate every 2.5 days, to a point where they moved their boosters instead of at 6 months, they've moved their boosters down to 3 months now. Mm-hmm. So they are really trying to get this under control as much as they can coming into the holiday.
Questions for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200. Get you on the phone line. We'll get you on our text line, 312-981-7200. The 815 area code says, is there anyone who should not get the COVID vaccine based on allergies or other conditions?
No, really, there's very, very, very few that should not get it. You know, someone that had an extremely bad reaction to the first one or has had other immunologic issues to a point where their doctor is saying, I don't want you to take any vaccines. Really, there is very little because we don't have any mercury preservatives in here. So really, there is this, I can't think of, you know, a population of people who I would say no to.
The 847 area code, I've had my first employee test positive for COVID. What is the protocol before she can come back to work?
Yeah, so I'll answer this two ways. One is the current way right now. So this individual, if she has tested positive, she should have two negative tests or at least 10 days prior to coming back. That's what we're using as the gauge here. So 10 days symptom-free, come back, or two negative tests. Very similar to what you're seeing being used in professional sports right now. That being said, this is probably our biggest concern as Omicron starts to come here. Think about how quickly now this can spread. And if it spreads as fast as that, what are we going to do with our workforce when we have large numbers of people who are testing positive for an illness that has somewhat mild symptoms? Are we going to be shutting down companies? Are we going to really be forced to look at alternative ways to man our companies? And what are we going to do in the hospital setting when we tell people they can't come back for 10 days? So something that is in the forefront of all of our minds right now of how we're going to handle Delta currently versus how we're going to handle Omicron. Delta obviously being much more severe and deadly, Omicron appearing to be much more mild.
We'll take a quick break and get to more questions for Dr. Kevin Most, 312-981-7200.
From all of us at WGN,
Merry Christmas
and Happy Holidays.
WGN.
Jim, you're on WGN with Dr. Kevin Most.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for doing this. Quick question. If the common cold is a coronavirus, why haven't we developed the vaccine for that and incorporated it like into the flu shot?
Jim, you know, I can't tell you how many people have asked me that question and said, why hasn't somebody done this? They'd be living in Tahiti for the rest of their life. The bad thing about it is two things. One, it changes as much as it changes because it mutates each year, just like the flu vaccine. But two, the other interesting thing is that it's an inconvenience versus, you know, the illnesses that can come up with influenza or can come up with this novel coronavirus. But it will be interesting to see now if there's more activity around finding a cure, quote unquote, for the common cold, and something if we can teach our immune system to identify those three known strains of coronavirus that cause the common cold.
There we go. Sounds good.
Appreciate the call. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
312-981-7200. 630 says, please ask Dr. Most, how risky is an indoor high school concert with no capacity limits for an immune-compromised person who is fully vaccinated?
I'm telling anybody who's immune-compromised to be extremely careful. Would I go to an indoor concert if I was immunocompromised and fully vaccinated, even with a booster? I would be hesitant right now. It's probably not worth the risk. Now, if you're a grandparent and you say, boy, this is my only opportunity to go see a child or a grandchild to do this, you know, surround yourself with the right people. Walk in, get in and out as quickly as possible. But I'm still telling people, when I'm looking at the hospitalizations and the positivity rate that's going on right now, we need to protect those immunocompromised people as much as we possibly can. So I would be hesitant to say, oh, yeah, rush in there. Don't worry about it. You know, we're seeing positivity rates continue to increase in this state and the states that surround us. So I would be very hesitant.
Last night, Kevin, I was at a wedding. My niece got married last night. A very, very lovely event. But I'll tell you what, I was a little bit concerned. I didn't see as many masks as I would have liked to have seen. And, you know, so I stayed masked as much as I possibly could when we weren't eating. Just avoided crowded areas. I tried to stay clear of crowded areas with that. Because sometimes you can't help, you know, you don't even know you're going to be in a big area like that. What kind of advice do you give somebody who has to be in a situation like that?
Yeah, Dean, I'll tell you, I was in the same situation. I was in Austin, Texas for the wedding of a good friend of ours, daughter. And it was the same, you know. Well, we were in Texas, one thing, and I'm not sure if they understand what a mask is in Texas, but, you know.
Only if you're a cowboy.
That's right. Yeah, and masks in Texas, they still think you're robbers.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was concerned. You know, I kept my distance as much as I probably could and didn't interact as much at the reception. I think you're seeing a lot of people right now that have waited over this year to get married, and now you're starting to see more and more. And it's very difficult to wear a mask because you're very close talking to people loudly, so wearing a mask doesn't work. You're drinking. You know, it's unfortunate, but, you know, the situation that we're putting ourselves in, especially at this time, is probably not as safe as we should be.
Yeah, and also, you know, this was a wedding that was put off because of COVID until now. Little did we know that Delta and Omicron were going to come along, and this would still be a concern. But, you know, a lot of people that you haven't seen in 2-3 years, you know, people are excited to see you, and they're, you know, giving you a hug, and like, you know, trying to be polite, but at the same time, keeping my distance, averting my face. It's a tricky situation that people are being put into.
It really is. And I think, you know, sometimes we have this sense that we're done with this illness, and we really have to understand that we are not and nowhere near done with this. So it's kind of interesting that we'll wear a mask to a grocery store, we'll wear a mask, but here we'll go to a large social gathering and think that the mask isn't needed when we're in closer contact. And like you said, you're hugging people, you're giving handshake. I mean, while you were at the reception, how many people did you greet and how many times did you wash your hands?
Right.
So, I mean, it really comes down to, that's why we're starting to see more common cold. That's why we're starting to see influenza. Some of this mitigation is going down and some of the larger social gatherings are occurring.
Yeah. This is John. You're on with Dr. Kevin Most.
How you doing, doctor? Thanks for taking my call. I'm all in favor of adults getting the vaccine, 18 years and above. I struggle with the idea of giving it to kids at a very young age. What are you seeing in the hospitals with young people who have or haven't been vaccinated? Are you seeing a lot of hospitalizations? And why do we continue to push this for teenagers or younger to get the vaccine? Is it just to prevent older people from getting the disease, or is there actually so many hospitalizations with young people that it makes sense?
Nope, John, you hit it right on the head. You had the answer before I even said it. You know, one of the reasons that we're looking at immunizing children is to slow the spread. Really, children do quite well with this illness, except, you know, for a very small population, as it would with any illness. So we're not seeing a lot of hospitalizations for positive COVID kids, in light of only about one third of those individuals that you're talking about have gotten vaccinated. So there are a lot of parents in the same boat as you, John. They're saying, you know what, I'm a little hesitant here. And really, the vaccine in children is to try to slow the spread, because of, we know, the interactions at schools, and then they're coming home, to whether it's to a grandparent or to a parent. So in the younger age, they do well with this illness, and a lot of people are making the argument, let them get the illness, let them get natural immunity. But we're really, what we're trying to do is stop this spread as much as we can. And unfortunately, children are one of the biggest vectors for spread.
Appreciate your call, John. Thank you very much. Dr. Kevin Most, always a pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I hope you have a great week.
You got it, Dean. We'll talk soon.